Part two of the first element for a healthy, growing church, the first one of several important elements of a church congregation that is healthy and growing. In other words, a church that is actually involved in the kingdom of God, making disciples, doing the work of the Lord, and God is having his way. That's what we're after. I pray that's what we're after. And yesterday, I slept a few times since that, last week, we were in Luke chapter 14, and I figured since we were talking about discipleship as one of the important elements, the people of the church have to be disciples, must be genuine disciples of Jesus, followers, studiers of Jesus, that we might ought to look in Luke chapter 14 and see what Jesus says about being a disciple. What is being a disciple? What does a disciple look like? And we learned that Jesus taught us more about what it takes to not be a disciple. If you look at the scripture, he was saying, look, if you can't do these things, you're not going to be a disciple. You can't be a disciple, right? And these things were love him more than anything or anybody else. If y'all remember, he said, hate your parents and your children and your friends and even yourself, he said. Use the word hate. And we pointed out that he didn't really mean to hate people. He just means in comparison to how much you love him, it's going to look like you would hate those, but you still love those people. And the second thing he pointed out was to be a disciple, you must carry your cross and follow him. Those were the words that he used. What he meant was everything needs to be surrendered to the kingdom of God. Everything needs to be surrendered to him as Lord and Savior. Doesn't mean you can't have stuff. Doesn't mean you can't do stuff. It just means Jesus is, if he's going to be your Lord and you're going to be his disciple, then everything is second place to him. Period. That means we're saying goodbye. We're willing to say goodbye to everything and anybody for whatever Jesus would lead us to do. Be prepared to make any sacrifice to follow him. It's challenging, isn't it? It's hard. He's basically saying, I want you to be my disciples, but it's not all fun and games, right? It's not all ice cream and candy. As a matter of fact, it's a lot of work, and it takes sacrifice. Today we're gonna continue and look at part two of what discipleship really is. This important element, if we want to be a healthy and growing congregation of believers, of disciples, this discipleship has got to be in place for those who are part of the congregation. So this is going to be part two. And before I get into it, I want to try to give you, I'm going to give you an illustration, a little story. I kind of changed it a little bit because it helps me remember how to tell it. But there was an old boy from Alabama, old country boy that was raised in the church his whole life. His whole family goes to church. His whole family believes in God. Yet, like many in their young adult years, they kind of go by the way of their friends and get out of church for a little bit of time. Or they come on occasion, they still believe, right? So one day he's walking down the street, he's got his nice clothes on and he's got his Bible under his arm. And he's walking down the street and his friend, who is his neighbor, sees him walking. He says, hey, what's going on? Where are you going? He said, I heard about this place called New Orleans. He said, it's a place where the alcohol never ends and the fun never ends. Nobody ever sleeps. Good times are had by all. I'm on my way. And the man said to him, really? Well, what are you taking your Bible for? He said, well, if it's as good as they say it is, I'm probably going to stay there a couple of days, so I might as well just go to church on Sunday while I'm down there. When I heard that story, it's a made-up story, obviously, but when I heard that story, I was thinking, okay, this guy's getting ready to go do some preaching. He's going to stand on the corner, and he's just going to preach to all the sinners, right? No. He was going to go down there and engage in the sinful activity, and then so he didn't have to come home early, he was just going to go to church there. and y'all are just like me. You sit there and you chuckle and you shake your head because it's like, what? That don't add up. That just don't make sense. You're either a Christian or you're not a Christian. You can't go in and out of it, right? What's the word that comes to mind? Yeah, I knew somebody was going to say it out loud. That's the word. That's the word of the day, by the way. Hypocrisy is the, I'm just going to say it to you, and you can challenge it if you want to, but hypocrisy is the biggest threat to being a genuine disciple. You think about it, and we're going to hopefully discover why that would be. We have to understand what it is. I think I also am going to suggest that maybe there's a misunderstanding of what hypocrisy is, all right, in the world, in the church and in the world. So let's discover together, because if we're going to be disciples, if we're going to be genuine disciples, totally committed to Jesus the way he described in Luke 14 in the last study, then we need to be on guard about this. All right? Nobody wants to be a hypocrite. All right? Even the people that enjoy life because they are hypocrites would never raise their hand and say, well, I want to be a hypocrite, because they're hypocrites. They want you to think they're not, but they are. Make sense? Okay, let's get into it. I'm going to read James chapter 1 first, because we're going to do a comparison of two different things here. And James chapter 1, I love James. I love James. Me and James, we probably would have hung out and we probably would have argued all the time. Not because I'm right and he's wrong. It's because he's right and I hate to be wrong. Remember last week I said sometimes you just got to grab me by the shirt and tell me the way it is, because that's the only way I'm going to get it. That's what James does. All right? So James, right off the bat, he comes in. Right off the bat, he just starts talking about people's faith. Right? If you're going to have faith, let's have genuine faith. And let's just test to make sure it is genuine, right? Well, while he's in the middle of that, in verse 19, we're going to pick it up. He says, this you know, my beloved. Oh, it's not going to be on the board. You have to open up your Bibles this time. He said, my beloved brethren, this you know, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Let me do that again. Slow to speak and slow to anger. I was talking way too fast right there. All right, verse 20 says, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law of liberty, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue and but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. I mean, come on, James. I mean, that's hitting below the belt and all up in the closet. Don't y'all agree? If you're being honest with yourself, you're saying, wow, really? I could have took that in servings. I could have just one for lunch and one for... That's a lot, isn't it? James seems to be teaching... If you're not careful, you'll understand James to be a condemning finger pointer all the time. But it's not really his approach. His approach is, let's put this on the table and let's make sure we all understand what it is, so that it will help you, so that you can grow, so that you can move away from the bad things and run to the good things, because James loves you that much, right? And that's sometimes what needs to happen. Many times that's what needs to happen. And he's saying, look, if you're gonna say that you're a person of faith, then there needs to be some fruit on the tree. There needs to be some things that are evident in your life that your faith is genuine. Because anybody can say they believe, anybody can say they're a believer, but if there's no evidence of it, then what does that mean? You know? You would think he's talking a lot about hypocrisy here, and in a way, and we're going to get to this in a moment, in the way, in the last two verses, he is bringing out hypocrisy, but he's really describing the journey that every believer is on when it comes to spiritual growth, if you think about it. Because how many of y'all, think about this before you even raise your hand, how many of y'all have arrived? You don't sin no more. You don't struggle with temptation. You got it. You're perfect. Am I right? See, nobody. Well, none of us. It's a work in progress. Every day we're struggling, aren't we? Every day there's something. Every day there's something. Sometimes it's the same thing as it was the day before or the day before. Sometimes it's something new and you're just like, what on earth is this now? You know, and it's a lot of things that he described in the beginning of where we read are him saying to us, look, what comes out of you and what is seen in you determines the reality about who you really are. So let's work on that. Let's deal with it. It is working out your salvation with fear and trembling, isn't it? It's nobody's perfect, and there is no congregation of believers on the planet that is full of people who don't never sin. They're all full of people who are working on it, who Jesus is still trying to clean up. Sanctification is what it is. They're saved and they're forgiven, but we're all a work in progress. All right, so. There was a survey. Let me see if I can remember this. There was a survey that was done a few years back about the millennial generation. And I'm not picking on millennials. It's just what the survey was. They did a survey with millennials. Just ask them a simple question. If you do not attend church regularly, why not? 60% of the millennials who answered this question said they do not go to church regularly because the church is full of hypocrites. Which doesn't surprise me about the millennials, because that generation, they just want people to be real. They don't like fake people. That's who the millennials are. They want to know who you are and they want you to be real. They don't want you to be fake. They don't want you to be a poser, be setting things different than what is really there. So the problem is, if you're like me, and I think many of you are, you've heard people say that they don't go to church because the church is full of hypocrites. And your answer is, well, why don't you come and join us, because you'll just add to our number, because we're all, everybody's, you know, and that's not true. It's not really true if we understand what a hypocrite really is. Today's society understands hypocrites to be people, basically people who have a certain moral or religious belief and yet don't live by those standards, right? That's today's understanding, or today's accepted definition of what a hypocrite is. The reality of the word hypocrite or hypocrisy is comes from way back from a Greek word that actually means to act, to be an actor, which was an entertainment thing. It wasn't a bad thing. Like, here, this person is presenting himself to be this character, and he's entertaining you because he's acting, right? That's what the word originally means. And when it's written down in Scripture, which we're going to find in Matthew chapter 23 many times, that's the way it was used in that context. So when we talk about hypocrites and hypocrisy, Right? If we're going to talk about it accurately, according to what the Word of God says, and according to the way our Savior teaches it, then we're going to talk about those who are hypocrites are those who are pretending to be or acting like someone whom they are not. All right? Now, hypocrisy in when it comes to being a disciple, hypocrisy when it comes to being a Christian, if you are a believer or claim to be a believer and you are a hypocrite in regards to that, that is a sinful behavior. Right? Because the church is not full of hypocrites when we're talking about that word in that context. The body of Christ, the congregations of believers around the world, is not full of hypocrites. It's not full of people who are pretending and posing to be believers. Right? They're not. We're not pretending to be what Jesus described in the last scripture, chapter 14 of Luke, where we're not just pretending to surrender at all. Right? We're not just pretending to carry our cross. We're not just pretending to love Jesus more than anything in the world. We really are trying to surrender every day more and more. Every day we have surrendered something else to Him. He becomes our Lord more and more every day because of our genuine commitment to Him. That is not hypocrisy. Some people just think just because we fall, right? Sometimes we stumble sometimes because we are struggling and we don't always get it right and we always have to repent. If we're being real with ourselves, we're looking in the mirror and seeing what there is to see, we could admit that. I don't get it right every time. And there's times, there's things that I'm working on and there's things that God's just standing there going, anytime now, you know, let's get rid of this. Let's move on. It's because I'm a work in progress. I'm still working on it. But it doesn't make me a hypocrite because I'm not pretending like I got it all together. You're not doing that. You're not pretending that you got it all figured out. You know that you have fallen. But sometimes people around the world, people who are in your community, people who are in your circle of people, they will label you as a hypocrite just because you fall from time to time. So they think you're being a hypocrite. Because so you say we shouldn't do that, but look, there you are doing it. And the difference is you know it's wrong, and you're convicted by the Spirit of God, and you respond to that with repentance and effort to do better with the Lord's help. You see, here's the facts. The definition of a hypocrite is different than the definition of a sinner. It is not a true statement that churches are full of hypocrites. It is a true statement that churches are full of sinners. And that's, people need to understand that. We need to understand that. All right? So here we are. There's a hypocrite. Here's your definition. The original definition, right, that I just explained. It's rooted in the Greek. Hippocrates, I think that's how you pronounce it, which means a stage actor, pretender, a dissembler. All right? Someone who's pretending to do something, mostly because they don't want to do the work. They want the benefits of being something, but they don't want to do the work to actually be that. Right? What would have happened if I show up over at tomorrow's cattle ranch and just started messing with the cows? I'd probably get hurt, wouldn't I? Pretending like I know what I'm doing. And I'll be over to Will and be like, I don't know what happened. And my lips all fat and I'm broke up. And he's like, I can see him now. He'd be like, shouldn't have went over there. I can see him now because I'm pretending to know what I'm doing. You don't know. Here's the definition of right here. Definition of a sinner. A person who transgresses against divine law by committing an immoral act or acts. That's it. All right. Being a sinner is way different than being a hypocrite. Not every sinner is a hypocrite. Right? We're all sinners, but we're not all hypocrites. Every hypocrite is a sinner. Y'all with me? Hypocrisy is just another sin, another way to sin when it comes to our relationship with God, when it comes to being disciples. All right, y'all see where we're going. If you're going to be a genuine disciple in the way that Jesus described in Luke chapter 14, if you missed last week's message, it's still online. You can go find it out. Jesus put down some serious teaching about this. Here's what it takes to be a disciple, and it's serious, and it's extreme, actually. And there's a lot of people in the world who are pretending to be a disciple. That's all they're doing. They're pretending to be a Christian. They're pretending to love Jesus. They're just posing. You know? But they don't really love Jesus. How can you tell? There's fruit. There's evidence. How many people do we suspect were just yesterday out living life with the world, engaging in loose activities, and somehow made their way to church and acted like it never happened? I'm not saying once in a while that happens and got caught up and they fell and they sinned and they probably know they shouldn't, they're kind of convicted, the Spirit of God. That's a sinner. I'm talking about some people who are in church or in a Bible study or walking around telling everybody they love God, but yet nothing else about their life says that. Everything else about their life says the opposite. And I want you to hear what I'm saying. It really has nothing to do with coming to church or not coming to church. Right? James is saying, look, what comes out of you? He's talking about in verse 21, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains in wickedness. Receiving the word, which is able to save you. Making an effort to get close to God. Making an effort to let the Lord help you get rid of the sinfulness in your life. And replace it with holiness that God has freely given you and offering you. There's too many around that want the righteousness of God, want the forgiveness of God, but they don't want to put the work in. And I don't mean working hard to not sin. I'm saying working hard to surrender to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Because He's the only one that can get you clean. He's the only one that can make that work in progress make any progress. Because I'm not the same as I was yesterday, and I pray that y'all aren't the same as you were yesterday. Maybe I'm a little bit better than I was yesterday in some areas, and maybe I'm needing some work in some areas that I get from yesterday, right? It can be a little bit of both. But as long as me and the Lord are getting together and my desire is for the Lord to make me what He died for me to be, that's genuine discipleship. That is a sinner engaged in discipleship. It's the one who never studies their Bible, wants to be known as some great person, great Christian, but they never spend any time tending to their relationship with the Lord. That's a hypocrite. And the reason why the biggest threat, or one of the biggest threats to discipleship, is because either a person may not realize they're a hypocrite, or they know it and they're professional, right? really what it comes down to is if a person is living in hypocrisy when it comes to their relationship with Jesus, it's very hard to convince them that they are in sin. Because they've done such good acting that they've convinced themselves that they're good, that their relationship is great. But deep down we know, don't we? Deep down we know about ourselves. Deep down we know if we're playing games or if we're just trying to skirt by without surrendering in the way that the Lord would have us do, the way that Jesus described. Is he number one in my life? Is he Lord? Right? Because he says, if you love me, then you'll do what I say. You'll do what I command. That's his teaching. If you love me, you'll do what I command. And his teaching last week was, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to love me more than anything or anybody. And we're all saying, amen, praise the Lord, I love Jesus. Do I? And a disciple, a sinner who is a genuine disciple, will have to say, sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. I always want to, but sometimes I don't. Right? A hypocrite says, I always love Jesus. Not realizing that God doesn't want words. He doesn't just want amens. When the preacher says, do you love Jesus? Right? He wants your heart to genuinely be turned over to him. If you're genuinely turned over to the Lord, you will have a wrestling match on your hands. Y'all understand? Because that means that you have given the Lord all of you, and he is molding you and reshaping you into what Jesus died for you to be. He's trying to reveal to you what he sees in you. Amen? Y'all are scared to say amen. I was like, I can't say amen. I'll be happy. No. No, that's not it. Let's finish our comparison and then I'll shut it down. Christians who are sinners are genuinely working out their salvation with the Lord's help. Christians who are sinners are humbling themselves before God. Genuinely humbling themselves before God. Not in front of people, just you and God every day recognizing who you are and who he is. Christians who are sinners, we're being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And once that happens, then the heart changes. Right? That's the way Paul taught it. He's like, your mind has to be changed. The only way to change your mind is to surrender to the Lord and let the truth in and accept it for what it is. That is so hard, y'all. Because if you're like me, and I suspect that we're similar, once we think we know something, it's very hard to let go of that. Even if it's right here in God's Word. That's why it's such a challenge. Christians who are sinners, they love Jesus more than anything or anybody. And when they fall short of that, they know how to repent. They know how to at least try to repent. They lay themselves at the feet of Jesus and say, I need some help. That's where the disciples are like, I believe, but I need you to help me with my unbelief. I love you, but help me when I don't. And we can easily convince ourselves something's true when it's really not true if we just let the Lord show us. Okay? Christians who are sinners are carrying his or her own cross to follow Jesus. In other words, we're prepared to sacrifice anything and everything if the Lord should lead us to do so, to make him number one. May not ever be called to do it in some cases, but we're ready to do it. Or at least we're trying to be ready. We're praying to be ready. We're asking the Lord, help us, help me be ready. Because let me say this. This is from experience. When you get real with God, he's going to get real with you. And you're like, okay, Lord, use me for whatever. Well, whatever's going to surprise you sometimes. Be careful. Be ready. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying ask the Lord to help you be in this place where He is Lord and you're totally surrendered to whatever. Christians who are sinners are genuine disciples. They're not posers. They're not pretenders. They're just on their journey. And the Lord is working on them. Right? So when people say to you, I don't go to church because they're full of hypocrites, you can correct that. Right? Now, there are hypocrites in church. We all agree with that? I don't know about this church, but in church in general. There can be hypocrites in the church. Because there are people who are pretending. Those who call themselves Christians who are hypocrites are only pretending to work at salvation. Right? They like to work out their salvation, but there's no fear and trembling involved. Right? They're working it out for them. How can I make myself look like I got it made? I got it together. Christians, people who call themselves Christians who are struggling with hypocrisy, they're just acting. They're merely acting as though they're humbling themselves before God. And we may never know, because when they're not acting is when they're all alone. And you don't get to see that part. They can turn it on, turn it off. Turn it on, turn it off. They're simply claiming to be transformed by the renewing of their mind. Right? They're just saying it. Maybe they know it's true. Maybe they know it's not true, but they're saying it. They're trying to make everybody around them believe that they are growing in Christ. They're always acting and pretending to love Jesus more than anything. It can happen. And it does happen. They're only claiming to follow Jesus, but they're not really following Jesus, because when it gets hard, they go do their own thing. And they try to put Jesus' name on it. I don't know how many times somebody has walked up to me and other preachers I know and says, God told me this. And we're saying, really? Because that's a sin. Well, God knows my situation. No. It's a sin. You just want to do that. You just want that to be the case. So they're just trying to live their own way and trying to make God sign off on it. You see. So they don't want to do the work. They don't want to surrender. They don't want to humble themselves. They don't want to be obedient. They don't want to be less than and God, Jesus, be more than. They want salvation and they want their kingdom at the same time. And they don't understand the gospel. That's hypocrisy. And it's dangerous. It's a major threat to discipleship, because it will ultimately, if it's not dealt with, it will ultimately lead to a challenge to your own salvation. Because we can't be saved if Jesus is not Lord. Make sense? Now, can a person repent of hypocrisy? Of course. Of course. Can any of us fall into hypocrisy? Of course. Of course. The dangerous part is when we refuse to repent of being hypocritical about our faith. When we refuse to acknowledge it. When we refuse the Spirit of God saying, no, let's get real. And you're like, I am real. And He says, no, you're pretending. And you're like, no, I'm not. And He says, yes, you are. And now you're arguing with God as if you could win that. They're not. They cannot. You cannot be an unrepentant hypocrite and be a genuine disciple of Jesus. That's what He said in Luke chapter 14. If you're not sold out to me, you can't be a disciple. So pretenders and posers and fakers and actors will not make it. They won't make it. Not because I'm saying it. This preacher's not saying that. That's what the Word of God says. Right? And if we're going to be a growing congregation of believers for the kingdom of God, if we're going to be healthy and growing so that we can make disciples, then we need to be genuine in our discipleship, in this being a disciple of Christ. Meaning, we have to be all in, we have to be committed. That's an individual decision for me and for each of you, and as a whole, we'll be a big group of people who are committed, a group of sinners who are just working it out and genuinely loving the Lord and genuinely repenting and getting better and better. And when we see the poser or the faker among us, we wrap our arms around them and say, no, 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 no. That's not who we are. That's not what we do. It's time to get real. And we love them until they can get real. Right? We don't stand back and say, poser! Let's go to Matthew 23 real quick. I'm not going to read a whole chapter. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. This is Jesus. These are words of Jesus. And this is a description. James gave us a description of what it looks like for the sinner to be working out salvation, right? And at the end, by the way, at the last two verses, James pointed out what it looks like to be a hypocrite. If anyone thinks of himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue and deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Seven times in verses 13 all the way through to 29, seven different times the word hypocrite in the New American Standard Version translation appears, all right? In Matthew chapter 23, seven times Jesus refers to this word hypocrite or actor or pretender, all right? And he is talking to the religious leaders of the day. The ones who had the law, they had all the understanding, they were supposed to know God, they were supposed to know all about the do's and don'ts of God. They were supposed to be experts, and they were at knowing it. But they failed miserably in the doing area. All right? In fact, verse 3, Jesus says to his disciples, as he's teaching about these religious leaders, he says, therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe. But do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. This is Jesus saying to the disciples, you see, he's like, you see all these religious leaders? They know what they're saying. They know the law. They know how to teach. So do what they say, just don't do it like they do it, because they're not doing it right. Right? You know, the old parenting advice to do as I say, not as I do. That's what Jesus is saying about the Pharisees. Why? Because seven times, verse 14, he calls them hypocrites. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And he goes on to explain that. He's kind of making money off of praying for the widows. Verse 15 says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around the sea and land and make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. In other words, you're leading him into sin. You try to get him to know God, and then you lead him away. Then move down to verse 23. It says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provision of the law. Justice and mercy and faithfulness. These things are things you should have done without neglecting the others. In other words, they're offering up a bunch of money and a bunch of stuff, trying to make it look like they're doing good, make it look like they're righteous people, but they're not loving anybody. And then verse 25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they're full of robbery and self-indulgence. And he goes on and lectures them about that. He's talking about you can present yourself clean all you want to the world, but inside you're as dirty as you ever were. And as you can, all the nice clothes, all the suits and ties you can wear don't make you clean on the inside. Right? All the Christianese you can talk in this world doesn't make you clean on the inside. Y'all know what Christianese is, right? Christians run around saying Christian things. But if you ain't loving nobody, and you ain't struggling to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, trusting in the Lord, repenting every day, making Him Lord and Savior of your life, if you ain't really loving people and loving God, then it doesn't matter, does it? Same thing. And then he goes in, I'm almost done. Verse 27, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He says you're like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they're full of dead men's bones. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And then finally in verse 29, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build on the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous. And he goes on and lectures them about that. First he's saying, look, y'all present yourself as those who know God, and you guys keep the law, and you're lecturing everybody else about keeping the law, and then you mandate everything, and you're making a profit off of it, but y'all appear to be in favor of the Lord, but you're dead. You're dead men walking. And then he goes start to lecture them, because they always thought that they were their forefathers, their ancestors, they killed all the prophets. And they're like, yeah, we're not going to be like them. We're better than them. We would never do something like that. And Jesus is like, really? Really? You have no clue what you're about to do. And we know, because we live on this side of the cross, they were the very ones that led the charge in putting Jesus himself on the cross. Yeah. The difference in Matthew chapter 23 and James chapter 1, the difference there is here's a crowd of people in Matthew chapter 23 that had no desire to change who they are. They had no desire to do anything different than what they were doing because it benefited them and it made them look good. And they were willing to use God as a banner to make it look good. James chapter 1 is a group of people who don't always get it right, and they got a lot of struggles, and sometimes they do things that ain't right, but the challenge is to repent, do better, do different, so that you don't wind up being a hypocrite. That's the difference. And you cannot be a disciple of Jesus, our Savior. You cannot be a genuine disciple if you are pretending or faking. Can't do it. Not only is being a disciple of Jesus an all-in commitment, but there is a very, very real danger of taking the easy way, or what appears to be the easy way, right? The easy way is go to church once or twice every 2 months. Raise your hand, praise the Lord every now and then. Say a prayer on occasion. When people are around, pray over your meal. And so on and so forth. So that you can feel good about your eternal life. And other people will have nice feelings about you. Or you can be real, step into what Jesus died for, and start working it out every day. Knowing you're going to fail from time to time. Knowing that Jesus is going to forgive you, knowing that you can get right back up, he's going to give you what you need to do better. You're going to praise him more and more because he's faithful in giving you everything you need to be successful in being a genuine disciple. And if we could understand that, why would we ever take the hypocrite route? That's the wide road that everybody takes, isn't it? It's the wide road. The narrow road is the way Jesus teaches. I love you, and the Lord loves you. If we're going to be a growing church, a healthy church, we have got to be sure and ask the Lord to help us with this. Hold each other accountable. Pray for each other. Encourage one another. Pick each other up. Right? Let's do that together. If you have a decision to make for the Lord, now's the day to do it. There's no time like the present. You should come down here and let the Lord be your Lord. Start your journey with him. Let's stand together. We're going to sing.